showers of blessings out there this morning. Amen. It's good. We need it. Nothing wrong with it. We get so spoiled here, but it's good. Man. 549. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. 549. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the words of God, I seek in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen. Brother Ramil. Yes. Yes.
Lord, into your house to return to you, Lord, the worship, the honor, and the glory that you alone deserve.
Yes.
Thank you for the hope of heaven, Lord. Already on earth, we have already received so much blessings from you. And Lord, someday it's even going to be much, much better, Lord. Heavenly Father, we have come to give you praise and the worship, and I pray, Lord, that you will be glad.
Yes.
All the praise and all the
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Let's see. Do we have any birthdays out there? Let's see. No, it's not me. That's my son, the junior. That's my junior. He was here this morning. He left. They had to go back. They had to be at work tomorrow. I wish he would have been able to be here. But we have Isaiah, our grandson's here with us. And my nephew from Denver is here. So we're blessed. Amen. Sean. Amen. Let's see. So anyone, any other birthdays? Anybody here? Birthdays? How about anniversaries? No? I guess. Oh. I didn't see it, I guess.
On the 11th?
So let's what is that birthday?
Next week. It looks like a birthday.
Oh, Linda. Yeah. That's why I missed it. That is why I missed it. I'm used to calling her Susie. Pastor said put Linda in there, huh? All right. Tricked me. So, Linda, would you stand, please? And we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Amen. Do we have a scripture reading?
Yes.
Amen. Brother Roger.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today will be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redeemed through the blood the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which is proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things accordingly to the counsel of his will, that we first trusted the Christ, excuse me, that we first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance under the redemption and purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. May God add a blessing to his holy word.
Amen. Sealed. We're all sealed. Once you get saved, you're sealed. Nobody can take it away from you. You know, somebody told me once after I first accepted Christ that, you know, they'd rather take a chance on Christ than to take a chance on the opposite of what if there wasn't, you know? And, you know, I always think about that because, hey, the other side is always better than going to hell if you die without Christ and without hope. Amen. So let's turn over to 524. 524. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. How you feel. It's if you have the Lord in your heart, if you have the Lord, if you receive him, it doesn't matter how you feel, you're saved. Amen. Because sometimes you don't feel that way. You know, the things of this world get to you, it bogs you down. You know, Satan tries to throw things in your way, but the Lord is always there. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. If you'd all rise, we'll turn over to 403. And for our offering, we'll sing, Open My Eyes That I May See. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of thou hast for me, place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth, gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine. Amen. Brother Roger.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with thankful hearts for your many blessings. We thank you for your watch care. We thank you, Lord, for this church that you've given us. Pray for us in our transition. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Brother Sam today as he breaks up the life, that hearts and minds will be tuned to your word. Amen. And we pray, Lord, that there's someone here that does not know Jesus in a personal way.
Amen.
Through his word and God's word, he'll come today and just take it in his heart.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you use this offering not only to further the gospel here at our church, but throughout our missionary where they preach throughout the world. Bless them, keep them, and guide them so safely through all the turmoils and tribulations they have to go through. Again, thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us.
Yes.
Stay like prayer. Amen.
Amen. Johnny, you got a special for us this morning? Praise God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I think at times I think about when I was lost in my sin before I knew my Lord. Especially the time back in Chicago. Man, I was in darkness. I was so blind, I couldn't even see to the next step. But you know what? God, he looked upon me with mercy. It was his mercy. That he looked upon me, he came looking for me. And he found me. He found me in my sin. He saved my soul, cleansed me, purged me, and made me clean and acceptable to his Father. Please.
Oh, now he found me. When I think about this wonderful salvation, now one day my blinded eye were made to see. I was dead in sin, but to me life was given. When I could not go to him, he came to me. For he found me. Oh, now he found me. When I was lost and oh so helpless, my Jesus found me. With his tender love, he sought me. And with his precious blood, he bought me. Oh, I was a failure, he found me. Now listen, what he saw in me, I may never know the answer. His amazing grace, and love
will ever be.
Not so unmerited of his mercy and his favor, when I could not love him,
oh, he loved me. Now he loved me.
Oh, now he loved me. When I'm lost and also helpless,
my Jesus loved me.
In ages past, he knew me, and with cords of love, he drew me. Oh, what a Savior, he loved me. Now, he loved me. Now, when I was lost and oh so helpless, my Jesus loved me. With his tender love, he saw me, and with his precious blood, he bought me. I said, oh, what a Savior, he loved me. I said, oh, what a Savior, now he came and found me. Yes, he did. Glory, that's my Lord. Praise God. I'm going to thank him one day, face to face. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're blessed to have Brother Burton. We all know him. We all love him. We appreciate him coming and preaching for us today. Amen, Brother Burton.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Johnny. Actually, that's what it's all about, that God loves us, Jesus loves us, and he found me, right? And so by his grace, by his mercy, by his shed blood on Calvary. And Roger, thank you for the reading of that portion in chapter 1 in Ephesians. Actually, after you read that, I thought we'll stop there and go over that passage. But the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. But this morning we're going to look at a different passage in Ephesians. So I'd ask you to turn to chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2, Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning now a little company gathered in your presence. And Lord, we open this word of the Apostle Paul, and we ask you, enlighten our hearts and minds and lives for your glory and praise. So Lord, we commit this portion to you now and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most difficult concepts and understandings is how a person is saved from sin. What is salvation? What is faith? What is eternal life? This is called soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Now, the missionary Paul had been persecuted. He had suffered much abuse. He was threatened and maligned, and now he was a prisoner in Rome for the gospel's sake. He called himself a prisoner of the Lord. From prison, he wrote the prison epistles, Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians and Philemon. In these letters, Paul encouraged the believers and thanked God for them. He also taught them concerning doctrinal errors. There were doctrinal errors, and warned them about false teachers. In chapter 1, we already had the reading, and we will not take time to there, but there was the matter of being in Christ. In Christ, in this epistle, is found 30 times in this epistle, in Christ. And the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in their salvation. But this morning, we want to consider a problem in the churches of Asia at that time in the first century, and a problem today, right here, today in our world, all over. The problem and the confusion about salvation, the place of faith and the place of works. Most religions teach, most false cults teach, that you do good works in order to be saved. And so it's really man trying to save himself. I'm okay. You know, I try to play softball on Fridays. I played softball this last Friday along with Roger Delisle. We had a good time, didn't we? Amen. We had a good time down there. And these guys down there, They have all sorts of ideas, but most of them are thinking, I'm okay. They have no conviction of sin. I'm okay. And if they have any idea of salvation at all, they think, I can save myself. And that's what false religions teach, basically. I can save myself by doing good works. But we are not saved. Good works are very, very important. But we are not saved by good works. We are saved unto good works, right? We are saved in order to do good works. But good works do not save us. They are a result of an experience called the new birth, being born again by the Spirit of God by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. So what we want to look at this wonderful passage and how deep it is here. And we have what we call here past, present, and the how of salvation, and a glorious future also. But let's look at this position, our former position or condition, our past life. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if you cannot be assured that I know the Lord Jesus, that Christ has saved me, you know, then you are in this position, but all of us are, we're in this position. This is a terrible past of the unbeliever, of the person of the world, of most of those dear fellas down on the ball field. This is our position. Look at this. Look at our position. It says here, and you hath he quickened. Okay, he's talking to these believers. But see, there was a problem there. There was even problem in the church at Ephesus because people were not thinking it, quite getting it right. And so he says here, for you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, by birth in Adam, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And that's not very nice. We don't like that. We don't like that idea. And we are dead in trespasses and sins. Well, look at this. There's a spiritual death. Now, this is another thing. This death is not annihilation. There's doctrines that go around that, okay, when you're dead, you're dead. No, no punishment in the future. No, Hebrews 9:27, that as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. None of that. When you're dead, you're dead. And that's very comforting. That's real comforting. Meaning, I can do what I want to do, and when I'm dead, I'm dead. There's annihilation. And false cults teach this. Sometimes world religions teach annihilation. But that's not what this is saying. This death is conscience. It's separate. It's a person separated from the person and for the use that God had for them. And it is an alive thing. It's not that death signifies absence of communication with the living. One who is dead spiritually has no communication with God, and he is separated from God. And here there are trespasses. There are a lot of terms here that we use. One is trespasses, to go beyond the limits of what is right or wrong, go beyond God's laws, God's love. And so we have trespasses, the violation of the rights of others, whether God, man or God. The intrusion of self-will into the sphere of divine authority. The problem with Satan, and we have what we believe is the problem of Satan, as we have in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And what happened to Satan was, he was apparently an archangel, had a beautiful communion with God, you know? But he got that little old pride in there, that little old self in there. And so he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I will be like the Most High. I will have my own throne. And this is what we call self-will, self-seeking rebellion. Rebellion against God. And that's where we are. You know, this transgression, trespasses. I thought of this word trespass too. Remember, we know that we see trespasses in signs of property. No trespass. No trespassing. Meaning you're supposed to stay on this side, right? And that's also God's holiness and so forth. But we have rebelled against that. There's iniquity, which is an act inherently wrong. There's a lack of righteousness or judgment. There's error. There's the concept of error, departing from the right, missing the mark. We usually use that phrase, missing the mark. For example, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the goal? The glory of God. What is the God? The glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They missed the target, right? They missed the mark. And the lawlessness, the breaking law, unbelief, all of these kind of sins. But these sins are rebellion and pride and self-centeredness. Here's one thing, too, that do you really believe this? Let me ask you, after I read this, if you really believe this. You know, you say, well, I'm pretty good. Even as a Christian, I'm pretty good. But look at what Jeremiah says here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The psalmist says, who can know his faults? Save thou me from secret faults. But look at this. This is, by the way, this is my heart, apart from the grace of God. This is my heart, apart from the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. It is my heart. It is what I am. It is what you are. Look at this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Whew. Wow. Pretty strong, Jeremiah. Pretty strong, Apostle Paul. But you are dead in trespasses and sins. And here, look at this. Wherein, in time past, we have this phrase, in time past here, twice at least, three times maybe. In time past. In time, wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wow. This is really, really kind of rough here. But look at this. You see, there was selfishness. There was rebellion against God. And here we have, too, that sin is an act of violation of the revealed will of God, a state, an absence of righteousness, and a nature, enmity toward God. So these all explain to us what went on. This was my life as a sailor in the Navy. You know, as you know, I told you I was born in New York City of people in the theater. The people in the theater. And I think they were great vaudeville actors, you know, and everything. But I was born at the wrong time for their careers. So I have no brothers or sisters. Didn't know any grandparents. From the standpoint of my life at that time, I was just a blah, right? I wasn't even taken care of by my mother in the early months and years. I had a nanny, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, here I am. And so I'm going through this life, and I don't have the privilege of Sunday school classes. I don't have the privilege of retreats, young people's retreats. I don't know the gospel, you know. I have a filthy mouth and a filthy mind, and this is me, you know, this is me. And I get in the Navy, and as you know, I went out in the Navy and became a Christian by reading a Gideon's New Testament and learning that Jesus wasn't a swear word, learning that he was born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. He died on the cross to save me from my sins. And see, but this is what happens by God's grace. But here is my life before this. Here is our life by nature, you know. We walk according to the course of this world. And I'm telling you, we are absolutely bombarded by the course of this world. Mm-hmm. It is really rough. And for young people, for children, you know, this is rough because the course... The world just bombards us with all this stuff. And so we are, and we want to seek that course. We are, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you know, and we have in Ephesians those powers and stuff that God delivers us from them. And in chapter 6, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, unseen workers of darkness, and so this is the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, the person of Satan, and look at this. It says here, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, that really, really struck me this last week, yesterday, and so when I was studying this, that, oh man, look at this. This spirit works in the children of disobedience. And I think of some of my grandchildren who don't know the Lord. And you know, this crazy Burton tribe is going wild. We are absolutely crazy. You know, we have these 8 kids, including Rachel, adopted Brazilian, and we have these 22 grandkids and this 22 great-grandkids and 3 more coming. This year, what have I done? But I think these are children of disobedience. Children of disobedience. And that's where it is. They are disobeying the word of the Lord. Rebellion against that, you know. And so this is what is going on in the unregenerate. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among also we. I think, look at this, the Apostle Paul included himself. Now, was there a guy like the Apostle Paul who had good works? Yes, he was a Pharisee. He kept the law. He does that in Philippians chapter 3. He says he obeyed everything. He wasn't a bad guy, except that he was against the Christians and went after them, right? And he was filled with himself. But hey, I don't look him doing any adultery. I don't doing him doing any of that. Because he had good works, but he didn't have the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. And so he includes himself here when he says here, among whom also we all had a conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Look at this. The lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the others. I mean, boy, isn't this a picture of the unbeliever? Isn't this position, our position, before we knew the Lord? And this is it. Wow. Total rebellion against one who loves us. Total rebellion against God who loves us. Total rebellion against Jesus, who loves us and gave himself on the cross to save us from our sins. Oh, man. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And this phrase here, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath. We're not taking up this morning this concept of the wrath of God, but I don't like it. I don't like this. The apostle says we are saved from wrath. Praise God. Do we deserve wrath? Yes. Do we deserve God disciplining us? Yes. He loves us and we rebel against his love. We don't love him. But here's a passage I don't like. So I read you a passage I don't like. I like the first part of this passage, but I don't like the end of the passage. And yet, look at this passage. This is so crazy. This is really crazy. In the Gospel of John, let's all together. John 3:16. Let's go. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it goes, so look, for God so loved the world. God loves you. God loves you. No? And the proof is that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life, everlasting life, and forgiveness of sins, and so forth. But then at the end, the last verse in this chapter, I do not like this. I do not like this verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Wow. Children of wrath. Children fit for the wrath of God. So this is the past, our past condition without Christ, our past, you know, walking according to the course of the world, disobedient, rebellious, a heart like this, children of wrath. But then we come to this wonderful next verse, but God, mm-hmm. But God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, look at this. God was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, even though we were sinners, even though we were dead in sins. In that condition, dead in sins, God loves me. God loves us and wants to show his mercy toward us, his love and care and mercy and grace toward us, you know, in this condition. And so perhaps, I mean, there can be, nobody knows anybody else, but if you are in this condition, but God loves you, but God wants to save you. Huh? Jesus loved you. He shed his blood on the cross to save you from your sins. But God, who is rich in mercy with his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins. There's a little footnote here. As you know, this is my first Bible that I got in 1946. And I was baptized on April 4th, 1946 in Philadelphia in the Church of the Open Door after I got out of the Navy. But this is kind of interesting. This is my first Bible. Good old Bible here. And look at this. I thought this note was interesting. Death, a summary. Spiritual death is a state of the natural or unregenerate man as still in his sins, alienated from the life of God, and destitute of the Spirit, prolonged beyond the death of the body. Spiritual death is a state of eternal separation from God in conscious suffering. This is called the second death. Wow. And that's what this is all about. But God loves us. God is rich. Look at that. God is rich in his love and his mercy toward us, even when we were dead in sins. Another thing it has here that God has done for us, together. I like this, together here. It says here in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So together with Christ, look at this, together with Christ. And he hath raised us up together. He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what he does for us who are believers in the Lord by his grace. That we are in Christ, Jesus, and he has made us to sit in that. There used to be, I was trying to find it, but I probably gave the copy away. Used to be a book called Sit, Walk, and Stand. It was an exposition of Ephesians. And it was written by Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was in China. He was the leader of what they called the Little Flock Movement. He was a real man of God. And when Betsy and I were in college, everybody in college read Watchman Nee. And so he had his book, Sit. You know, sit, meaning our position in Christ Jesus. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom in the next chapters. And then stand against the asechanzas, I was going to say, against the wiles of the devil, chapter 6. Sit, walk, and stand, you know, in Christ Jesus. And that's what we have here. In fact, we even have the word sit here. You know, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And look at this. What purpose? We have that, you know, that phrase, that in order that for the purpose of, for that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Oh, man. Grace, kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So here we have our past, we have what God offers us in the present, and then we have this concept of the how of salvation. The how of salvation. And here are these famous verses that we've memorized. We need to review again and again and again, and we need to include verse 10, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained, he has prepared that we should walk in them. So let's look at this, because this is a confusion. This is why the title of this message is, by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, right? So it's salvation, you know, is by grace alone, it is by faith alone, it is by Christ alone. By grace are you saved. Now we often remember, I think some of you could remember this, what we consider to be the difference between mercy and grace. The idea is, and you have to review this again and again, otherwise you forget it, that grace is God not giving us what we do deserve. I mean, mercy is. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. So we have the mercies of God, the mercy of God not giving me what I do deserve, meaning I deserve punishment, I deserve his judgment, I deserve hell, right? So mercy, God not giving me what I do deserve. Grace is giving me what I don't deserve. Got to wrestle with that, right? But this is sometimes. So grace, the grace of God, is his mercy, his grace, his love toward us, and it's unmerited favor. It's God's love in action, the grace of God, this grace of God. And it is included, this word is included 12 times in this epistle, the grace of God. And it is through faith, not of yourselves. This is the not of yourselves. What do you mean? What do you mean? I can do it. I can save myself. You know? I can do it. But it says, not of yourselves. By grace are ye saved through faith, by the grace of God, by his unmerited favor, by his love open to you. You know, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Now, you all know this, and so we won't go long on this, but we all have faith. Everybody has faith. The problem is the object of their faith. What they are confident in, what they are trusting in for their lifestyle, for their world, their worldview. And so, but this faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who loves us, and who wants to save you from your sins, wants to cleanse up your life, and he wants to be your Lord, the Lord of your life. And that's what God wants to do in us, you know. So this faith, Hebrews says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. Paul says in Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we preach the word of God. Right? That's why I pass out these tracts all over the place. You know? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why I gave a young fella quite recently the Gospel of John in Spanish, and he says he's reading it. He says he's read half through it. You know, I told him, if you read that, you read that Gospel of John, and you want a New Testament, I'll give you a New Testament. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? We trust that the Spirit of God will use the word of God, you know, in the heart to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to reveal the beauty of the person of the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And so faith cometh by hearing, and so by grace are you saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now look at this. Another thing, that this salvation is a gift. And this is the very problem. For God so loved the world that he gave. God offers a gift to whatever person worldwide sinner. But it's very, very hard to receive a gift. You know this. I know this. Very, very hard to receive a gift. Because you get the gift and you say, oh no. You know, this person gave me a gift, now I owe them something. Now I gotta give them a gift. They invited me to dinner, now I've gotta invite them to dinner. You know, and this gift business is a burden. It's a burden because we don't know how to just say thank you. No strings attached. No strings with the gift. It is a gift, and you cannot earn a gift. If you can earn this gift, it's not a gift, right? And the thing is that this beautiful salvation of God is a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift. He wants to give you the gift of forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. He wants to give you the gift of a new life. He wants to give you a gift of eternal life. He wants to just bless you. Jesus said, I have come, and I have come more abundantly. To give you more abundantly gifts. So this is a problem, that it is a gift. And but as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is a gift. You are lost. You are undone. You are wretched. You are a sinner. You have sinned against me in thought and mind and action. But I want to give you forgiveness. I forgive you. In Jesus Christ, I want to give you this gift of salvation. And it's all he wants us to do is receive the gift. Receive the gift of salvation. Receive forgiveness of sin. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross. And it's all he wants to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And then there's a miracle. There's a miracle of the new birth, a changed life. You know, it's very hard. I don't know what happened to me down in the Navy. I had a filthy mouth, and this was real embarrassment to me. Imagine a filthy mouth being an embarrassment among unbelievers, among Navy guys. That was pretty bad. You know, but it was what God used to convict me of sin. And so I received Christ after reading this Gideon's New Testament, and I received Christ, and my swearing goes away. I mean, literally, it wasn't a process. It just went, and I haven't had trouble with swearing and stuff since. And my mind was awakened. I became alive. Something happened. And joy, peace, you know? And my shipmate said, Sam, what happened to you? You got religion? I didn't even know. No? But that's what God does for us. Isn't it true? Yeah. That's what God does for us. He changes our lives. And we are joyful in the Lord Jesus. And we have this first love for Christ. And we love him because he first loved us. Amen. And so this, this is what happens. And this result is in order. It's not by works, because lest any man should boast. You see, if we were saved by being good, then we would say, ha, pretty good. We would boast. But we cannot be saved because we're not good. And so he says, for we are his workmanship. God is a master worker. And God's workmanship, it's God's workmanship, you know, for we are his workmanship, created a new creation in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before prepared that we should walk in them. So yes, works are very, very important, but we're not saved by works, and we're not sanctified by works. We're saved by faith. We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are saved, the fruit, there should be a change, and good works. Now I always think, well, what are these good works? Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he says, if I remembered it, since I remembered it, in 5:17, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But is there something alive in my life now? Is there something alive in your life now? Are you growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ? Are there these good works? And I think the best good work is love. To love one another. The best work, really, are not so much things, but certainly it is character. The fruit of good works is character. The change of my character into the image of Christ. It's probably, as I look at this, how can you beat this? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, gentleness, self-control by the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is a spiritual work, isn't it? And that's what God wants in our lives. So may it be that as we just consider this, that this might be a good meditation, and we can realize what God has done in our lives, what he's doing in our lives. And so if this morning you do not yet know the Lord Jesus, then I certainly wanted to give you an invitation to receive Christ as your Savior this morning. Open your heart and mind and life and just pray. And you can pray like this. Lord Jesus, I confess to you I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you, O God, in my words, in my actions and attitudes. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to save me from my sins. I open my heart, my life, come in, save me, cleanse me, wash me. I receive you as my Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we do commit to you this kind of prayer. We pray that if there's anyone here this morning who would pray this prayer. Oh God, I have sinned against you, but thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Save me. I receive you now into my heart, into my life as my Savior. Thank you, Lord. If you have done that this morning, let's close our eyes, everybody with their eyes closed. And Lord, is there anyone here this morning? Is anyone here, you this morning? Have you made this prayer? Would you like to make that prayer? Could you raise your hand if you would like really receive Christ as your Savior today? You've never done that? Also, let me just ask us to again, make a surrender. We're going to sing, I Surrender All. And so let's do that. What confession in your life or whatever, what dealings would you like to do with the Lord right now in this moment before us as we just wait before him? Each person just saying, okay, Lord, and whatever God is speaking to you about. And so let's pray that. Thank you, Lord, as we have this opportunity to, in a quiet moment, to just surrender all. Surrender all again and again and again to you. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin and attitudes and whatever, that we can confess our sins. Yes. And you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. May these words be a comfort, an encouragement, a strength to us. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We're gonna sing number 404. Would you all rise? But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, and you have never asked him to come into your heart, your Savior and to save you from your sins, you know, you can number 404. You can talk to someone even after church. You don't have to come up forward, but if you want to, you can come forward and receive Christ, and your life will be changed, and the Lord will bless you. Number 404.
Lift up his countenance upon thee.